Our reading today touches upon a central theme in the letter to the Hebrews. Jesus is our great high priest. It is repeated throughout the book and discussed from various angles. Jesus is the one through whom we have access to God, the one through whom God is present with us, in whom heaven and earth meet. Most importantly, Jesus is the one through whom humans have been reconciled to God. The writer explains all this by reminding the readers about the temple cult with which they were all too familiar, maybe not in practice at that time, but certainly as avid readers of the law contained in the Old Testament. So we just remind ourselves that this letter to the Hebrews was written to Jews who knew all about the Old Testament. And so the writer uses that knowledge to explain to them something about Jesus. They knew how the high priests of old brought sacrifices. These sacrifices were a symbol of humanity's need for forgiveness and cleansing. So the idea behind them is, while we all want to get rid of evil, we have to recognize that some of that evil also is in us. So if we were to get rid of all evil, it would also mean that we had to get rid of ourselves, even the best of us. Instead, the Israelites had a symbol to remind the people of God's justice and grace. And so they were reminded that the animal would die on behalf of people. It was a symbol. Yes, humans were corrupted by a compulsion to do evil, but that evil would be taken from them without destroying them. That was one meaning. Now, in addition to that, the blood of the animal was also seen to cleanse the pollution of sin amongst the people. Maybe that's a strange concept, but if we imagine that when people deal harshly with each other, when they think of themselves first and their own interests, or even worse, when they all together rush headlong into ever more destructive relationships and systems, then there's something like a dark cloud over that people or that community. The idea then was that the blood of the lamb symbolically washed that dark cloud away. The people who sacrificed those animals were the priests, particularly the high priests. But it was clear that even they, the priests, were part of that corrupted humanity. Therefore, they too had to sacrifice daily for themselves to wash away their participation in the people's tendency towards evil. The letter to the Hebrews now says that Jesus is a better high priest than all those who have gone before, because Jesus does not have to go and sacrifice daily. Jesus is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners. Jesus only offered one sacrifice, once and for all, one that is complete for all time and never has to be repeated again. He offered himself. Instead of doing away with evil by doing away with the humanity that is compromised by evil, Jesus offered that complete sacrifice, his own life made perfect through suffering. He offered the fullness of the human condition perfected by his own obedience. The letter to the Hebrews then sees Jesus as the completion of that which was foreshadowed by the sacrificial system in the Old Testament. As the priest without sin who offered that completely perfect and holy life, Jesus also draws those who follow him towards God. Jesus makes them with him children of God who now have access to the Father. Even though some of the separation between God and humanity continues, we have an advocate in heaven, and so we are continually drawn to God through Jesus. Because Jesus is our high priest, humans can be reconciled to God and be in relationship with God. So that's a brief explanation of this part of the letter to the Hebrews, which is what the sermon should be about. But because today we're talking about what happens in church services, I want to go on to another question. If Jesus is our great high priest, why then do we have priests in church? Well, to answer that, I have to go a little into church history, and I'll try to make it as simple as I can, and it's a bit simplified at times, and so there'll be something up there on the screen as well, maybe a bit small, but otherwise you can see it later on. So the term priest comes from the Greek term presbyteros or presbyter, which means elder. In the early church, the elders were appointed to keep order and discipline in the local church, to look after the administrative affairs of the local church, and to organize and guide the worship services. They would also often host the meals when the church came together. They would also lead parts of services, including the Last Supper or communion. The office of leaders in the church was also profoundly influenced by two other religious roles. One such influence was the role of the rabbi in synagogues. So after the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, the Jews no longer had priests at that time. Instead, the office of the rabbi developed. So that's a bit different from the rabbi in Jesus' time. But by that later on, the rabbi were recognized as learned in the scriptures and the law, and they were able to lead synagogues and their communities. Their role was to teach the people in the scriptures and the faith, to lead them in liturgy and worship, to encourage faithfulness and community cohesion, and to attend to pastoral needs. So if you look at that, you realize that historically, the model of the rabbi has had a strong influence on developing church leadership. Now, another major influence on ministry roles in the church was the position of priest in Roman temples. They were also, in Latin, they were called sacerdos. They represented the deity to the people, performed sacrifices, and presided religious festivals. And so these influences all combined with different forms of church leadership and civic roles to define church orders. Over time, as the church became more and more of an institution, the sacerdotal function, that is the role equivalent to the temple priest, became more and more important. But the name of presbyter or elder stuck to the function. Therefore, these people who were now more like a temple priest or sacerdotes, they were now called priests in many languages, even though they took on more and more the role of the sacerdotes. The other roles of elder and rabbi continued, but were not that prevalent. So in today's church, they're called priests, but the term comes actually from elder, and it has often been shifted to what we now call the priest, which is the representative of God, which comes actually more from the Roman pagan system than the Old Testament system. But it has also been transferred, of course, to the Old Testament priests. Now, the Reformation in the 16th century attempted to do away with the sacerdotal role of church leaders. They saw that the role of temple priests as a pagan intrusion into the church. The reformers said that church leadership should not be modeled on Roman temple priests. And I think even today, slowly, the Catholic Church is coming to realize that as well, very slowly. And anyway, I heartily agree with the reformers and think that the ministry similar to that of a rabbi or a presbyter is more appropriate for ordained leaders. Now, I confess that I may fail at times in enforcing proper discipline as an elder should. But, maybe the role of the presbyter has been partly taken over by the wardens and vestry in the Anglican system. Therefore, if you use the word priest in the sense of mediator between God and humans, Jesus is our only priest. There is no other priest in the church. However, as followers of Jesus, we all represent something of God to the world. That's why we talk about the priesthood of all believers. So if the person at the front is not the intermediary between God and us, that means that we all, as followers of Christ, have a ministry. We can all have access to God through Jesus Christ. We can and should all pray for each other and the world. We can and should all proclaim the good news in word and deed to the world. That is our function if we follow Jesus, our great high priest. Amen.